All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. This is the second day of August 2022. I'd like to remind you, am I the editor of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold Energy and Tech Stocks? You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. Also like to plug Chen Lin's letter, especially if you're interested in the biotech. Some very exciting developments in some of these young biotech companies that Chen talks about from time to time. ChenPicks.com. ChenPicks.com is the place to go to sign up for Chen's letter. And we also like to remind you of Michael Oliver, who's with us today. His excellent newsletter, the MSA. OliverMSA.com is the place to go for that, his momentum and structural analysis letter. And he'll be sharing a few of his ideas with us in a few minutes from now. Though, of course, we always want to invite you to send along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number for taylor@gmail.com. Also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Today's sponsors are Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining. I've titled today's show, Are We There Yet? With Quantitative Easing or Quantitative Tightening. Michael Oliver, Patrick Highsmith, and Brian Lenny join us for the first time. The last time the U.S. had a serious inflationary problem was during the late 1970s and the first couple of years of the 1980s, during which time gold rose from $35 to $850. Ever since the first couple of years of the 1980s until the Biden administration, there hasn't been a significant consumer inflation problem, although there has been a very serious inflation problem in the stock, bond, and real estate markets. That is the primary reason why the top 1% of our population continues to squirrel away the lion's share of wealth in America while the middle classes rapidly fall below the poverty line. And now with inflation continuing to accelerate towards double digits, increasing numbers of middle-class people are heading into poverty. Well, David Stockman expressed his opinion a few weeks back on this show that he didn't think we should be looking for a Powell pivot towards easier monetary conditions anytime soon, because he opined that the Fed was deathly afraid of the masses of angry citizens coming after them with torches and pitchforks, in David's colorful language. On the other hand, Wall Street and Washington power brokers are used to having a one-way street towards greater and greater wealth as their stock and bond market portfolios rise ever higher. They have not had to deal with any prolonged stock market downturn ever since Alan Greenspan and the plunge protection team was created after 1997 stock market crash, because the Greenspan put was initiated, and that kept the rich and powerful enjoying ever-rising profits, and if they were suffering any kind of a downturn, it was very short-lived because the Fed would always come to the rescue and start pumping money in the system, and away we go with the rich getting richer evermore. So the rich and the powerful are arguably in a much stronger position to impact Federal Reserve and federal government policy than any of us average folks. While there are not nearly as many voting billionaires as there are common folks, why would the rich and the powerful ever allow the people Hillary Clinton describes as deplorables get in the way of the well-being of the status quo? I think it's fair to say that the rich and powerful are not too pleased with stocks and bonds being in a bear market for long. So I titled today's show, Are We There Yet? Meaning, are we near the point where Chairman Powell will be forced to say to heck with the tortures and the pitchforks and give in once again to the World Economic Forum and resource billionaires, and I should say rescue the billionaires. Or might David Stockman be right in suggesting that populism will have its turn politically and economically in America, and the status quo are rightfully frightened? Well, those and other related questions we'll pose to Brian Lenny in the second half of today's show. Whatever our monetary future holds, one thing I know is that Timberline Resources appears to be on to a Carlin-style gold discovery in Nevada. Now, Timberline is a very low market cap company, but given early drill results revealed by the company, I think that could change very quickly and very dramatically with a few more drill results this summer. And we'll be talking to Patrick Highsmith about the company's prospects and what they're planning to do this summer, their drill program, and why it might be something you want to pay some attention to if you're a speculative investor. But right now, I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again to share some thoughts, his ideas on these very unusual and perilous markets. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay.
It's really good to have you. Well, do you share the idea expressed by David Stockman? David thinks that, you know, Powell is seeing his visions of these torches and pitchforks coming after him. And certainly people are angry. They are distraught. The middle classes are being hurt like never before since the 1970s. I would argue more than the 70s, because in the 70s there were still strong labor unions and there was some protection and the country was in much better shape, I think, in many ways. But anyway, what are your thoughts? Is there any credence to David's ideas that Powell is not going to pivot anytime soon?
No, I think he'll pivot. I think the data points will make him pivot. And already, if you pay attention to just like read the Wall Street Journal and see either one, their editorials, or two, opinions expressed by outside economists about, hey, this is having another consequence. You know, there's an acknowledgement out there that it's causing negative trend events that likely will show up in data points, you know, the things the Fed likes to look at. And I think that those data points will smack them in the face starting real soon. I think in particular if we see an unemployment shift that's a little too rapid for them, that'll alarm them, because remember, that's their other mandate. I think the forces that be, the powers that be, will realign the Fed toward what the Fed does. And that is, you got to support the bond market of the government, muni bond market, high yield corporate debt market, and we can't let the stock market drop back down. Now, on a short-term basis, MSA put out a report about 3 or 4 weeks ago saying that likely the S&P at that point was in the 3800s, would rally up to 4100. But, you know, you can trade it if you want to, but it's a counter-trend rally, but likely would occur. Well, we did. The market got up over 4100 last week, spun its wheels, and it's spinning its wheels there now. We don't trust it at this point to gain more ground. I think that might have been the counter-trend trade that we've seen, and it could roll over again soon. And frankly, there's some numbers below the market that if you go back down, you don't even have to go back to the lows. The lows in price seen by the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ in June. You don't have to get that low. You get it down even, I won't specify the numbers, we do that in our report, but you can't afford to roll over again. If you roll over again, you're going to blow those lows out, and you're going to have a pretty dramatic down leg. And I think that's going to occur. I think we needed to have this rally because it turned heads. Mm-hmm. It's also the longest rally we've had so far in terms of the number of weeks of recovery off a low. Most of the rallies so far this year have been 2 to 4 weeks, and then they collapse. Mm-hmm. This one's now 7 or 8 weeks. So, you know, it's made people feel more comfortable. I think it's false comfort. Now, but if we roll back over in the stock market and take out our trigger numbers and resume the downside, which we think is underway, then this major bubble breaking, which we think it is the biggest stock market bubble in the history of the United States in terms of the metrics of the upside from 2009 to 2021, and they're definitely were sponsored by the Fed. Monetary policy, QEs, expansion of the money supply, you name it, all those things fueled the monetary inflation that went into that category. Because remember, investors determine where the money goes. The Fed doesn't. They just print it. Now, the problem now is there's a lot of large investors who are skeptical of the stock market and express those statements. They're skeptical of the value of the underlying value of your money unit, to quote Ray Dalio. And for some reason, stand back and think about it, gold has had has been in the, probably the narrowest price range, percent-wise, I'm speaking now, mm-hmm. in the last, since it was legalized in 75.
Wow.
If you put it on mm-hmm. a logarithmic chart, extremely narrow for 2 years now, mm-hmm. like 20% or less range. We've had three probes under 1,700, March of 2021, a brief one in August of 2021, and last month. Each of them stopped mm-hmm. around 1680. Who is buying gold down there aggressively and resolutely?
Yeah.
That's Ooh. The question people should ask instead of who's yeah. selling gold, who's buying gold repeatedly at that level. What is their motivation? I suggest they have a good motivation. And so far, yeah. the recovery... Go ahead.
Any sense of who is buying gold?
No, I have no idea. I'd suspect, yes, some of the large asset managers have expressed yeah. doubt about the stock market and right. doubt about the value of your money. Therefore, they go to money that is not doubtful.
It's proven yeah, like a, Ray, gold. Like a Ray Dalio, maybe.
Yeah, and yeah, others, but you know, that are openly skeptical about it. Jeff right. Gundlach, for example. Right. I don't know right. what they're doing with gold specifically, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. obviously somebody with big hands and a lot of money is buying those sharp breaks. And it's mm-hmm. the same level, which is mm-hmm. almost uncanny. Mm-hmm. And yet most gold investors aren't noticing that. Why? Because they're focused on the miners, which did not hold the lows of the last 2 years. But it's typical. We've done studies on the miners versus gold going back decades. And it's just the case that when gold goes down, they go down more. Mm-hmm. When gold goes up, they go up more.
Right.
It's the nature of the beast. It's mm-hmm. a tiny little sector of the market, the gold mining, silver mining. And a little bit of money moving here and there can really move it big. Mm-hmm. And right now we're measuring for the resumption of the upside and therefore the outperformance return of gold miners and silver in relation to gold. We think that's already some evidence of that occurring, and we're looking for just a bit more before we pound the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with the precious metals, do you think we're anywhere near? I mean, can you give us some sort of sense of how much we need to see on the upside before we break through? I mean, we've had a nice move the last few days.
Right now, I think there's some vulnerability to have a pullback. Like in silver, got up to about 2050. There's a 50-day average up there, so that crowd will sell there naturally. Uh-huh. We said that in our weekend report. And sure enough, it looks like they did. We're now at $20. Wouldn't shock me to see a low this month closer to 19. Remember, the low of the move was 1790 something. Okay, I don't think we're going to go back to the lows. I think gold has seen its lows, and there's some further upside evidence before we pound the table. But it's not far above us. Mm-hmm. I think before we ring those numbers in solidly, we might get a little pullback.
Yeah,
but I view the situation now as one of positive zigzag, not negative zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
And again, our subscribers have provided specific numbers in that regard. But if that does occur, then once again, the very beat-up gold miners will surge more out of the hole than will gold.
Mm-hmm.
They'll snap back much more. So that's yeah. a place to focus once the evidence comes in.
All right. Real quickly then, with respect to treasuries, I mean, the go-to markets. Do you think there's going to be a time when gold is the only man standing?
Yeah, the only I think we're already really there when you compare gold to any of these other assets. Right now, gold had a high today close to 1790. You know what? That's down about 2% on the year. Find me another major portfolio asset that's only down 2% on the year. You won't find one. Muni bonds, high yield. And as far as we're concerned, the Treasury market rally that we're now having, we expected it. We don't think it has a lot more duration on the upside, price move or time-wise. And we think it's a counter-trend rally there as well. And, of course, if that market ever rolls over again, then the Fed's going to have the responsibility to do what? Support the bond market.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to. It has to. It has no choice. All right,
That's
Michael, thank you very much. Thank you. It's his job, yeah, and to support the banks that are the shareholders of the Fed.
Right.
Thank you so much, Michael. Always great to have
you
and to hear your insights. All right, folks, well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because Patrick Highsmith, President and Chairman of Timberline Resources, will be with me. We'll be right back with Patrick.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.